When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Riches I heed not, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. The hunt for Ollie's successor is afoot and Tony Hibbert's back. It's Tuesday, 23rd of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Vidisha Nandaraja.
And I'm Lars Jørgensen.
Hello, everybody. Lovely to have you with us on this terrific Tuesday. Lars Sivertsen is here.
Hello.
Bruno Lars Sivertsen, how are you?
Come on. I'm feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good. Last time I was in, my country had just had an abject failure on the international stage.
Yes.
Eurovision, was it?
Yeah.
Hey! Don't do that. We never do very well in Eurovision, do we?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
No British people can ever pull that.
I thought since Brexit we'd be a shoo-in, but
I know. Winning hearts and minds.
Yes, you're getting to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, really, aren't
you?
Speaking
of abject failure.
Oh, dear. Well, the chat of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's replacement is underway, as I say. And it's interesting, you know, the candidates that are being mentioned and so on and so forth. I mean, Lars, with Solskjaer going, obviously he did that little interview, the farewell interview. How has this all been received in Norway? Are people angry at the way their man has been treated?
The initial response in Norway, just looking from the front pages of the sort of online newspapers on the Sunday, I really had to double check to just make sure he's not dead.
Right.
Because really, I mean, the coverage was sort of, it was like the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's life in pictures and his sort of dignity. I mean, the PM had a word about, like, you know, the Norwegian PM said something about, you know, taking charge of this big a club is an achievement in itself. Which is like, hey, what? It was very strange. There was a lot of coverage, obviously, yes. And it was generally speaking quite sympathetic to him, for sure.
Yeah. What was made of one of the things that was written on the tactics board in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's office was apparently, go and do your magic.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So is it, I mean, with that stuff now presumably not as prevalent at the
Believe.
Club, you wouldn't have thought a new manager coming in would, how are they going to fill that sort of gap?
What, as in the playgroup assistant?
Yes.
Attitude, mentality.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm not really sure, although Lars saying that the reaction in Norway was as if he had passed away made me think, would the Manchester United social media team conduct a seance on Twitter? I think they probably would. The guys talked about it yesterday very well. I couldn't really disagree with anything they said. I suppose the in-house interview specifically, if we talk about that for a moment, please. I think it was very specifically for United, Manchester United fans, for a specific group of Manchester United fans, for the same group who applauded him off after the defeat to Liverpool, the same group who have fought his corner for a long time. I can totally understand why other fans and other people might find it a bit blech, for whatever a word, where there wasn't one. But it kind of, it fits into basically what he was about as Manchester United manager. I mean, you know, Jim said yesterday that he was a bit of a glorified fan. I think it probably reinforced the fact that he loved it, loves the club so much.
People say this about Dean Smith and Villa, though.
Yes, I suppose he does, but Dean Smith didn't play for Aston Villa, did he? You know, he didn't, you know, take them to that high. I also think he spoke of the reason why he was never going to be particularly good, because, I don't know, he's just not ruthless enough. You know, Miguel Delaney made this point, and Jack Whitbrook as well made a, you know, a succession crossover, basically saying that, you know, he's not a killer, and to be, you know, to be the one who takes over a bit after Sir Alex Ferguson, who wants to be inspired by Sir Alex Ferguson, you need to be a bit of a killer. And he was just a bit too soft.
Yeah. I mean, some of the quotes in that interview, which obviously was released the other day, so we don't want to go over it too much. You know, I've made great friends. I've reconnected with some great friends. New staff coming in, I've been really good friends with. The other staff that were here when I was there, we're good friends. I mean, it's nice that the friendships remain, Lars.
I watched this, and it was one of those things where you're just like, I had to reattach my jaw after just, what has happened? Okay, let's just step back, right? I don't know if you've been watching Man United recently, but I mean, the game against Liverpool, it wasn't bad. It was uncomfortable to watch. I mean, it was like watching a figure skater at the Olympics just falling over repeatedly in the final. It was one of those things. It was so bad that you've felt slightly icky watching it. Like, this isn't supposed to happen at this level.
Germany-Brazil semi-final?
It really was that level of bad. And against Manchester City, it wasn't a lot better. Actually, you got the sense that it could have gotten that bad if Man City were interested in making that bad, but they didn't have to. And then, again, not much better against Watford. I mean, these are some of the worst performances we've seen, not just from Man United in the modern era, but go past the last two decades. Have any of the wealthy European sort of so-called super clubs ever looked that totally inept over a course of a couple of performances? I don't think so. So this is like historical levels of awfulness from Manchester United. And the guy has obviously been fired. And then he's sat there talking to the in-house media, talking about how he's reconnected with some great friends.
Yeah, we might have done that.
Am I taking crazy pills? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
This is nonsense.
He's been paid
millions to manage the most expensively assembled football teams in human history.
But Lars,
they've looked inept at a level that's rarely seen at
Lars,
this level or any other level.
I just assume
the real trophies were the friends we made along the way, Speller.
Lars, I just assume that in Norway, when you get sacked from a job, you get some sort of, you know, you have the last word. I thought this was just standard practice there.
I mean, not like that. I mean, I know, and again, watching this interview is like, the players, they're all top lads, you know, very grateful to them. The coaches, you know, he admires them. They're so good. Now everyone's doing great work. And it's like, have you watched your team recently?
Yeah. Well,
like what is happening? Watching that interview is like, everything must be really good at Man United. If you just watch that interview and you watch no games and you're saying, how's the team? Oh, turns out their team is terrible. How is this possible?
It did speak to me a bit like if you interviewed a child after the first time they'd been to Disneyland. I thought it was just wonderful. Yeah. So many.
I've enjoyed it from the first minute to the last. Please tell us more about the last couple of weeks and what you enjoyed about them.
Okay,
like this, but this is the point, right? And you've already said it, right? When did this become what United was about? Like, because there's been so much talk when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been there about the United DNA and the heritage of the club and whatever. When we talk about United DNA, I have no idea what that means. Like, Sir Alex Ferguson was not wedded to any tactical concept. I mean, his great strength was always moving with the times. His great strength was being utterly ruthless with players who he felt weren't good enough. Mm-hmm. You know, if there was anything you can pin down. It's like, well, attacking with wingers? That's like every team in the world, right? Yeah, this is nonsense. The only thing, if you had pinned down anything that Sir Alex Ferguson stood for, it was being never accepting anything that wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. You know, being totally ruthless and just winning is the only thing that mattered. And when you won, then winning the next season is the only thing that mattered, right? Mm-hmm. That is, if there is any United DNA, that would be it. And I cannot think of anything that could possibly be further from the Man United DNA than like just after being humiliated by Watford of all things, mm-hmm. by the mighty Craig Cathcart and Tom Cleverley, to be sat there talking about, oh, I've reconnected with some great friends. It's been fantastic. Mm. Like, that is whatever the Man United DNA is, whatever the heritage of Sir Alex Ferguson is, that is as far away from it as you can humanly come.
Yeah,
so which is weird, yeah. Given that Solskjaer of all people should know this.
Of course. Well, you didn't appreciate the interview then, chaps, I think it's fair to say. So what's next then for Manchester United, Vish? Because the main candidates seem to be, Pochettino seems to be top of the list.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Brendan Rodgers is being, according to one or two publications, they've already made contact with Brendan Rodgers, but that would be potentially tricky. And then Zinedine Zidane, who's clearly not going to go there.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you think then with regards to these candidates? Because for my money and for a lot of other people's money, Pochettino is clearly the best candidate for the job.
Yeah, I'd say so too. I think I would, given the way that they've organised this with an interim before a caretaker, it speaks that they were looking originally to make a more permanent appointment at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Just right off the season already, fine.
Yeah. But we are in November.
I know, yeah. You know? Good Lord.
Not even halfway.
Well, you know, Disneyland shuts over the winter, doesn't it?
It does.
To a point. Most amusement parks do. So I thought maybe Ten Hag would be, Erik Ten Hag. Would be the one they're going for. I suppose the difference with Pochettino is that the noises seem to be that he'd be willing to move before the end of the season. I don't really understand that, given, I know, you know, PSG is a bit of a basket case and he's probably managing in a very different way than he would like.
Yes.
But you've got a proper shot at the Champions League.
Well, and also, not guaranteed, but, you know, they are well ahead in Ligue 1.
Yeah, sure.
And he has never won a league title. And I know people might think, yeah, but managers want to win trophies as
also,
well.
Also, someone made the point yesterday that because he's got family, his family is still in London, he's finding it hard. Mm. I would take the Eurostar all, you know, every day of the week ahead of Avanti.
The premier class of the Eurostar is not a bad way to spend. It's good.
The way people were talking about Paris and Manchester as if, like, Manchester's way closer to London, but I just wonder if you could actually do it to Paris quicker.
I think that is actually cheaper, probably.
Probably faster,
yeah. It's absurd. If that's the problem, then I don't think I want a manager at a football club I support who thinks like that, who would rather take that trade rather than that trade.
True enough. But Pochettino lost.
I can imagine Pochettino, and this is just me speculating.
Go on.
Wanting to get the hell out of PSG just because it's a nonsense of a club, but also just...
You're saying that front three don't press the way he wants
it's funny.
To.
I know,
he wants pressing, come to United.
Well, but this is the thing, right? Okay, so I watched a lot of Pochettino's football teams since he came to England because I was covering a lot of Southampton games when he first came in there because they had a sort of Norwegian player there who wasn't playing a lot, but I was often sent to look at them in case he did.
I like how you all look after each other.
Yeah. And I could just see week by week how he turned Southampton into this sort of lean, mean pressing machine. And you had sort of like Jay Rodriguez and Ricky Lambert running around. And it was all sort of very energetic. Mm. And of course, he went to Tottenham. And again, that whole initial success was fueled by a group of players who were all on the young side, who were not superstars at that point and would all sort of just run through walls for him. And
they were hungry. They were all just into pressing.
And the way they hunted in packs was, you know, it was a sight to behold. And if you were... If Pochettino was to be completely honest about, like, what's the fundamental thing about his view of football, it's the high press, it's the running, it's the chasing and all this. And it's some sort of big cosmic joke. He's now been put in charge of a team that has possibly the best front three ever assembled, but a front three where, like, Messi doesn't do anything off the ball, Mbappe doesn't do anything off the ball. And, like, bizarrely, Neymar is the one who's, like, become the Dirk Kuyt character here, which is not something. But no, in fairness to Neymar, he has actually upped his work rate off the ball considerably in the last year, because someone has to. Mm. But like, he's got, instead of having three players who do the work, he has half a player who does the work. Mm-hmm. And it clearly isn't working for him there. And now they're so far ahead, quality-wise, everyone else in Liga, that they should win that. Mm-hmm. But you say he has a real shot at the Champions League. I don't think he does. I don't.
That was Vish.
Sorry, Vish. I don't see how you do win the Champions League with that team. I mean, maybe they'll pummel Man City this week and make me look like a fool, but I don't see how that works.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough. But I just think that if, given what he has at his disposal now, not least the endless amounts of money, I'm surprised. Well, I'm not surprised that he wouldn't go at the end of the season. I'm just surprised he would go now. Yeah, well, why wouldn't you try and play it out?
Well, the chat is until, end of season probably makes sense because...
But no, I don't. So I think the reason Pochettino has come to the fore now is that he'd be willing to move before the end of the season.
Okay.
And the thing that makes sense to me that's been suggested by some outlets is that there'll be some sort of switcheroo shuffle in which Zinedine Zidane goes to PSG and Pochettino goes to United.
Yes.
And I have to say that makes a ton of sense. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's anyone like in world football who you'd try to make some semblance of logic out of that PSG team, might as well try Zidane. He has a good record of at Real Madrid of making these sort of superstars work together in a way that works. Whereas Pochettino, much more of a record of working with younger, hungrier, you know, types. I can completely imagine Pochettino in charge of a Man United team that has like Rashford, Greenwood, and Sancho, and McTominay, and all these dudes running around. I think that could be really good. Mm-hmm. You're still going to have the Ronaldo problem, but that is a problem you've bought yourself that you're not getting away from anytime soon.
Well, the problems that Pochettino would perhaps encounter would be with Pogba and Ronaldo, really. And I mean, let's be honest, Pogba
is probably leaving anyway.
Exactly. He's a bit like Solskjaer on the pitch. We say he's going to leave Manchester United soon enough and so on and so forth. That is bound to happen. But with Ronaldo, I mean, I actually don't go in for the whole thing of Ronaldo. It's, you know, so many of Man United problems are because of Cristiano Ronaldo. I actually don't necessarily agree with that. And if he was that bad at fitting in a system and having all this, Man City wouldn't have gone in for him either. He needs to be managed properly. And that is the battle of the egos, which they say, Lars, with Pochettino, does sometimes struggle with the egos at PSG. So that's the only bit of tension, really, I see if he went to Man United.
I think it is possible to carry Cristiano Ronaldo. I think you can do that.
I agree.
But you have to make adjustments accordingly.
Yes.
Like, you have to have a very clear structure on the team. You have to accept, okay, you have a guy there who's not going to give you anything off the ball, so you need people around him to run, who run a lot more than they usually do. Well, they've got young players who feasibly could do it. They haven't been doing it, but Pochettino could probably whip them into shape.
Yeah.
Weirdly, exactly. I think I'm in the sort of strange minority of people who think Jesse Lingard should have played a lot more this season. Mm. Just because whatever you say about him, he gives you a ton of energy off the ball. Hey, and if you're trying to compensate for Ronaldo being there, then that kind of makes
sense. I'm in the J-Lings fan club, mate.
So I'm not saying, like, Ronaldo... I don't fully support this. He is the... I just said you have the Ronaldo problem. I'd like to rephrase that. He is a challenge, right?
Yes, I agree.
He gives you something unique. He is still a unique predator in the box. But you still have this thing that you need to compensate for what he doesn't give you off the ball. Mm-hmm. And Solskjaer never looked close to getting his head around that. Maybe Pochettino could.
Yeah, because if Zidane came in, it would be probably too much of the same. In that, tactically better, yes, but that sort of, what do they call it? You know, the player whisperer kind of thing. You need to be able to, if you want to be the player whisperer, then you need to do it for players who are like Neymar and Lionel Messi, who can, you know, go and win you games sort of single-handedly and so on.
Yeah,
I don't think that would be a great fit.
Yeah, I don't know what he's going to whisper in Fred's ear.
Who is that?
Just stop
and
it.
Also, like,
stop
who it. Are you? And if they wanted a player whisperer, who knows the club?
Yeah.
Phil Neville.
No, don't.
Okay.
Also, like, yeah, again, if Zidane's great forte is that he's a player whisperer, it isn't ideal that he doesn't speak English.
No, exactly.
Like, that is like he'd be whispering in the wrong language.
What I love about Zidane.
Could it be any worse, though? If they got instructions in a different language,
but Zidane has the vibe. Zidane has the vibe of a man, and I love this about him, of at no point do I ever want to speak English. You know, so I think the PSG job or the France job makes sense for him.
Another crack at Real Madrid. Zidane sort of whispering things in French into Harry Maguire's ear, and Harry, what?
Yeah, he would
I'm confused and aroused.
What about Brendan Rodgers, though, Vish?
Okay. I think
low hanging fruit.
But
you know what? Sometimes the low hanging fruit is the tastiest.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's very sweet and ripe.
I prefer a mature banana, for example. But Vish,
good for banana bread.
It is. I don't think Brendan Rodgers is a ridiculous shout. I think it would be a shame, well, for Leicester's sake and the neutral sake, if he was to be poached.
I think if you look at the way Leicester are going now, I think of all the managers who have been touted for this job, or, you know, who you reeled off at the start, aside from Steve Bruce, I think Rodgers wants this the most, because I think there is a sense that Leicester City, that they can't quite put their finger on why things are going on at the moment. And I know they've been through periods like this before with Rodgers, but I think there's a sense now that this might be a rut he can't quite get out of. And so for that very reason, I think he would absolutely jump at the chance for the job. Bear in mind, I suppose...
But it's only been a few months. He won the FA Cup last season.
Yeah, sure. But if you look at how they're performing now, there's something is up.
And yeah, as it was with Pochettino and Spurs, and look at their regret for getting rid of him.
Yeah, fine. But I'm saying from Rodgers' point of view, I think he's got two options here. He can either try and fix it, which is obviously what he's trying to do now, but also, out of the corner of his eye, I think I'm going to gun for that job. Bear in mind, the reason he took the Leicester job was to build up his cachet after he lost a bit with the Liverpool job and to become that top tier manager. And he's done wonderful things at Leicester City. But I think he would obviously want this very much. I don't think he'd be the right fit for Manchester United personally.
Okay, so speaking on behalf of every single Manchester United fan on the planet, Vish, who would you like to see in the hot seat at Old Trafford?
You've got to give it to someone who knows the club. You've got to give it to Michael Carrick, haven't you?
They have done that, so that's it. Right, okay. Carrick's in the bag.
Yeah,
all right.
You've got that safe. Give it Big Ron. Big Ron knows the club. To give you a proper answer, I would say my personal first choice.
Brucey interim until the summer.
Give it Brucey until the end of the season.
If they did that, imagine.
Steve Bruce is apparently very keen to take the role.
Of course he is.
Let me finish. And believes he could stabilise the dressing room.
Imagine having had
so much success stabilising dressing rooms up and down the country. But all the bollocks aside, who would you like to see the next Manchester United manager?
It's like two...
Answer the question.
Two decrepit, slobbering dogs of Mike Ashley and the Glazers passing around the same chew toy.
Get on with it. Answer the question.
I would say my first choice would be Pochettino and Ten Hag very closely at second.
Yeah.
I think if you're looking for what they're looking for, you're going for those two. And if you're veering beyond that and going for other people you mentioned on the list, then it speaks of the issue with the Glazers and Ed Woodward being the man who's looking for a manager despite the fact that he won't be here at the end of the year, of that kind of cluttered, totally disjointed upper management, which is part of the reason why we're having this conversation in the first place.
I have to say, I think it's all prime for Pochettino because I think you have the squad there that could play his style. We've talked about the Ronaldo
challenge, but I think
he improves players, say like a Scott McTominay, for example.
Yeah.
You would imagine he would improve. Look at Harry Winks under Pochettino.
Yeah.
Got a real good tune out of Winks. Now, since Pochettino, he's not really played that much. And I know people might think, well, they would still need to sign a few players. Yeah, of course as well. But Pochettino knows how to improve a squad without spending too much money.
No, I agree. And the thing I'd say about Ten Hag, and this is possibly very unfair of me, but and also like clearly he's done an amazing job at Ajax and put together some great Ajax
as did
there.
Frank de Boer.
This is the thing, so I always wonder with these sort of Ajax guys when they're kind of released into the wild and have to fend for themselves.
I agree with you.
Kind of like we talk about the United way, like Ajax is one of those clubs where there genuinely is a DNA in the sense that when players come through the academy there's a certain set of footballing principles that have been drilled into them from they were children, basically the same at Barcelona. So when you're coaching Ajax,
which has been taken from Ajax,
so when you're coaching Ajax and you get youth players coming through,
right, okay,
you know that there are certain aspects of your system that they will instantly get. You don't have to almost, well, of course you have to coach them, but you can put them into certain roles in the
team. You're
putting
round pegs in round holes.
And they know exactly some of the principles of a play. Mm-hmm. Now, as if you sort of airlift him zoop out of that and sort of vomp, drop him into Manchester United, you have an entire squad of people who know none of these things.
Yep.
And you have to sort of teach them how to...
Well, Donny van der Beek might.
Exactly right. Get daily...
He's shit.
Get daily blame.
Tell you what, Donny van der Beek wants Erik ten Hag.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he couldn't do it because there's no way of knowing that. I'm just saying we shouldn't underestimate how challenging that would be for him.
I
totally get that point.
Is there a way that we could engineer it so there's a bit of crossover on the DNA? Could we crossbreed a manager who has both Ajax and Manchester United?
I think
DNA?
You're thinking about things
like the Fly. It worked in the Fly, didn't it? Can we get him in a portal?
No. It didn't work with the Fly.
He was angry, but it was a bit fucking.
I mean, I don't
brute,
want to,
wasn't
you
it?
Know, spoiler alert! It didn't end well.
No crossbreeding.
Absolutely no crossbreeding. Get Pochettino in, and we'll leave it at that. Right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Thank you. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I see it a different the way I see it, and I stand by that, and I'm very comfortable and confident in saying what I have to say.
Who would you bring in?
I don't know.
Rio Ferdinand on his credentials for being sporting director at Manchester.
Listen, he has the Man United DNA.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, exactly right.
Whatever that is. Yeah. All right, it's time for emails.
A very long jingle.
It's not too, but it's not the longest one we've had.
No, of course not. We have a really good email from Scott. I am excited about this. Scott writes, while discussing the possible replacement for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at the Man United wheel, crucial, not just, at the wheel, whoever you need a good helmsman, we think we have come up with, no, listen, Scott, I appreciate
it. He means in charge. He doesn't mean he's a hamster.
I'm just saying, well, we think we've come up with the perfect solution. Ah. I think you have too. Why have one replacement when you can have a rotating cast of guest managers between now and the end of the season?
Yeah, yeah.
Throw in the concept of the Masked Singer and I think we have a winner. Who is playing a 5-4-1 formation while sitting in a gravy boat? Roy Keane thinks it's Stevie Bruce, but could it be Big Sam? I mean, this is tremendous. Besides the endless entertaining for us neutrals, the Glazers will be delighted by the extra revenue stream by introducing the premium line to cast votes. The players will never be able to lose faith in the manager, and the fans can get an endless blast of nostalgia whenever one of the managers is revealed to be a Man United legend.
I like that. I think it should just include ex-Man United players.
I like the idea of just having a masked manager. No one knows who it is.
Mm.
That would be really interesting. Though I do think it wouldn't have worked out well for Solskjaer. I think he would have been out of a job much sooner if that was the situation with him. If they didn't know that he was sort of the Red Apprentice.
Yeah, you'd have to have more than a mask, though, because I think we'd be able to spot Steve Bruce. It'd have to be a whole outfit kind of thing. But then I suppose the Masked Singer is a whole outfit. It isn't just a mask.
Just the exact masks, outfits from the Masked Singer is what you need on the sideline there.
Yeah, it kind of, because then
it's William Prunier.
But like post-match interviews, they wouldn't get the criticism. But then people would be like, I haven't seen. I mean, this is really keen doing Sky Sports.
This is really starting to sound like the bad guys from Squid Games.
Don't give away things.
No, he's the one. Don't give away anything. Just watch it.
If it was Kino inside that costume, it would be very strange to have someone in that costume be that angry.
That's true.
I feel like that...
But we'd never know.
That's true.
We would never know. Vish, you have the second email before we get too ridiculous.
We would when he starts beating
before
up the mascot. Yeah.
Please.
An email from Matt. So yesterday, my father-in-law, a long-suffering Bolton fan, told me his best mate found a MacBook while out walking his dog that morning.
Oh.
While a nice find... In itself, it isn't much of a story. However, when it was opened, the lock screen was for a certain Ian Evatt, the Bolton Wanderers manager.
Blimey.
His picture is just a cartoon football. The club came to collect it and gave a couple of tickets to tonight's game against Doncaster. Mm. How much of a reward that is, I'll never know, as it sounds more like a punishment to me. The big question is, though, why was Ian Evatt taking his laptop for a walk? Bizarre.
Okay.
No, you don't have to make it dirty.
I'm not making it dirty.
you were making it a little bit dirty.
I didn't even think of that.
I know that little noise.
Fish.
I know that little noise.
Stop projecting on other people.
No, I would say they can't be dirty because he would have stayed somewhere where he had Wi-Fi and he wouldn't have got it in a park.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. I'm glad you've mapped that out for just anybody.
Unless he was tethering to his phone. Wouldn't recommend that.
Maybe he had a dongle.
Yeah, oh, well.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. There we are. Why was he?
I think that's grounds to be sacked as a manager for someone who needs to be down on attention to detail. You just can't leave your laptop in a park.
Government ministers have done a lot worse and have not been sacked.
Fair enough.
You can say that about anything.
Yeah.
That's very true. Well, if you know why Ian Evatt was taking his laptop for a walk, then show up at footballramble.com. Gentlemen, next news story is Gareth Southgate signing a New England deal. This takes him to December 2024. Interesting time. Have they got a bit confused with the World Cup in Qatar and they think, well, what to do December 2024, but either or.
So in my sort of dedication to being a team player, I completely poo-pooed this in the pre-show meeting and went, is this really news?
It is news.
I guess, yeah, it is a piece of information that has happened. I just kind of think it's still, listen, if he does well, he'll stay in the job. If he doesn't do well, he'll get sacked. And whether he's signed a contract this week or not doesn't massively change that.
So it's dog bites man, is what you're saying.
Well, it does change it, because if he does well at the World Cup, then you know, he will definitely stay on, whereas we thought he might finish after Qatar.
Fair enough. No, that's a fair point.
Vish, we are big fans of Gareth Southgate. I've no doubt Lars is in his own way. But this is expected news, but it's good news.
Yeah, I suppose what they were waiting for the qualifiers to be over and done with. Just to not distract. But I mean, I don't really know. Like, yeah, this was. I agree with the last to an extent, because we spoke about this about a month ago, didn't we? And we were like, we were basically talking about why he would get an extension and what needs to be done, not just to extend his stay, but also put into practice, or rather, you know, put framework around all the things he's brought in and make them permanent, even beyond his reign. So. Thinking about it though, December 2024, so what, that's another 3 years now. That's probably the right time for him to leave / breed another successor. Not breed another successor. Sorry, I'm really...
really going straight home to watch the fly. Who would you crossbreed for the perfect England manager? Bearing in mind that Alf Ramsey's dead.
Southgate and Solskjaer.
We talked about it before. As with the Manchester United team, we could do a little seance. We could get Ramsey back. We could find out what his values are, put them in someone else, then put them in the little transporter thing, and then have a half Southgate, half ghost of Alf Ramsey hybrid.
What was the...
Yeah, maybe. But Southgate, though, he did say that he might want to go back into management, club management.
I don't think he'd be very good at that.
Yeah, well, he said that it talked about unfinished business because he said at Middlesbrough, people think of him just being relegated as Middlesbrough manager and so on.
But
it was a long time ago now, Lars.
I think he would need, from what I can tell, which is always the usual caveats that we're on the outside and blah,
yes,
blah, blah.
Of course, yeah.
It seems to me that he could probably do with, if he went into club management, a very strong number two who's very sort of has maybe a tactical savvy that he seems to be a good sort of vibes man, Gareth Southgate. Like he's done it. And I don't mean this to be backhanded in any way. This is probably the most important part of international management is fostering a good spirit in the camp and making sure you have a group of players who get on and like each other. And that can take you really far. Just look at France at the World Cup compared to France at the Euros. Like the players getting on and having a good time.
Wales 2016.
Is super, super important. And he's done a great job there. And he continues to set the tone very well for that team. But of course, the criticism of him is that there have been certain moments where there have been a need to make tactical adjustments where that hasn't happened.
Well, in particular games, though.
Yes, I definitely...
Yeah, the important ones.
Yes.
Well, Germany in the second round was an important game.
But it's more sort of in-game, sort of towards against Italy when the game was, when the flow of the game was really changing.
So in the
Sure. And I think there's a bit of that. And of course, there are things you can squabble about. Like, there are loads of times he's picked lineups where you're like... they're on Sky now, so that can be before, like, his reluctance to put faith in Jadon Sancho or Jude Bellingham was like, did you just not have BT? Is this your problem? but they're on Sky now, the Bundesliga, so that should be okay. But this is the thing. Quite aside from squabbles you may have over lineups and whatever, I think he's done more than enough to justify his position. And I think he's done a great job setting the right tone. If he was to go into club management, maybe a strong number two would be a good thing.
Like Steve Holland.
Yeah, well, just take everyone back. Do you think he'll be able to take the swimming pool unicorns with him as well?
And the squad.
Yeah.
But an England club side, that would be something cheating. I could get behind.
Yeah, I would, yeah. The interesting thing, I remember speaking to a few players that he coached at Middlesbrough, and one of the things they said of him, certainly how he was at the time, was that he was he didn't like confrontation at all. And so that would work two ways. He would... you know, not really reprimand players for poor performance, but also he was really bad at dropping players. Mm-hmm. He would just tell them at the last moment. He would give them and, you know, be quite mealy-mouthed with his reasons and stuff like that.
Sure. When was he Middlesbrough? Was it 12 years ago or something?
Yeah, no, so this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I think the thing he has shown himself over, you know, as England manager is that he's quite strong. He's not afraid to, confront some issues which don't pertain to football, but he's not been afraid to front up and talk about those serious matters. And evidently, if you look at the way, for example, he's dealt with Mason Greenwood and talking to his family about the situation there, the way that he rested Jude Bellingham from the squad and I suppose how broader he's thinking about players beyond the people beyond the players, but also what the players need themselves. Yeah, perhaps more equipped than ever to be, you know, a solid club manager. Yeah. Where do you think he'd go? I think I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up as the fifth manager from now at Newcastle.
I don't think so. No, I don't know where he would go. But...
it'd be quite nice to see, like, the corruption of quite a beautiful heart.
Fulham. Back where they belong, challenging for Europa League spots in the Premier League.
Lovely walk to the ground, isn't it?
Yeah,
what a lovely walk to the ground.
It is a lovely walk to the ground.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Why are you doing that?
He's a big walker.
Right. Could do what Roy Hodgson didn't do, as he did with England, and win the Europa League for Fulham. So there we are. That's that sorted. You mentioned, Lars, obviously, as we all still do, that was England lost to Italy in the Euro 2020 final. And Italy struggling a little bit with old Ciro Immobile among their ranks. And that's my excellent segue into the next bit, because Immobile refereed a charity match at the weekend between Lazio employees and a team from the Vatican. How about that? Did you see this?
What a link.
It finished 7-7.
I feel like the link is a bigger story than the story here.
Finished 7-7. He awarded two penalties.
He does love a pen, doesn't he?
He was the referee at the Pope's personal request.
Oh,
that's good.
That's something.
I'd be quite pleased. You know what I mean?
The Pope just say, "It's only Manuan who can ref this game."
Think about it, Lars.
It's Ciro Immobile.
If the Pope wanted to know a bit more about, I don't know, like Norwegian
football. Presumably, the Pope could get most people to ref
Lars,
the charity game.
If the Pope wanted to know more about Norwegian football and he personally asked for you, you'd feel a bit touched by that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Right.
Also, Jan Åge Fjørtoft would be furious.
He would be furious. Oh, dear. What a blast from the past, Jan Åge Fjørtoft. Although, blast from the present, though, of course, in Norway. Speaking of blast from the past, Tony Hibbert has come out of retirement to play for ES Lugi. I think that's pronounced in the French 10th tier. The 10th tier.
So he's no longer a one-club man?
No longer.
Football is broken then?
Well, I think if it's in the French
10th. What a disgrace Tony Hibbert is.
Yeah, it is a bit disrespectful to Everton, considering he played 328 times for them across a 15-year span. And he was the only man who had been there longer than David Moyes when David Moyes left. 40 years old is Tony Hibbert. So what about that? I mean, is he equipped to play in the French 10th tier?
How would we know?
I'm not. You're the European
honest
one.
Honest to God, Speller, I have no idea what
you do that show on a Thursday.
Yeah,
you tell
true,
us.
That's true, that's true. I mean, I have to say, the physical state of Tony Hibbert has not really come up yet on the
Oh, we know everything. All David Cartledge and Andy Brassel.
Anyway, see? Back to the question, though. Is he equipped for the French 10th?
I have no idea. Okay. if Lars doesn't know, how am I going to know?
I don't know. But look out for the subtleties. But
what's the area like of the of that
France?
Loosely, yeah. No, I know France.
You've never felt so disrespected in all your life on this show. I know France, for crying out loud.
Was there some mention of fishing?
Yeah, he's big into fishing. He bought a carp fishery near Rimes in 2013.
Brilliant stuff.
Yeah?
I just think that's great, because like, if you were an ex-footballer and had all the money that came with that career, why wouldn't you buy a fishery if you were well into fishing?
Well, you struck me as a man who knows his way around a rod. are you into fishing?
I was when I lived back in Norway.
You would be.
I could never get on board with it in England because it's... Mm-hmm. I grew up right next to quite a good trout lake, and
trout,
so I've been quite spoiled, really. So the carp fishing, I could never really get into.
Okay, fair enough. What about fly fishing?
I'm not very competent. I can do it, but I'm not very good.
Okay, all right.
Is it a bit like Kevin Keegan
of Norwegian fishing.
Is it a bit like golf? Is it the kind of thing you do with like a few mates and it lasts a bit a long time and it's not really about the end product or...
No,
you're a proper hunter-gatherer.
Yeah, you want to eat what you catch.
I definitely have a thing where, again, one of the reasons carp fishing doesn't appeal to me is that I have this sort of basic, like, if I can't eat what I catch, it's just a bit of a waste of time,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, fair enough. Mm.
I had a boat when I was young.
Did you?
Yeah, because they had a... When I was... How old I was? It was like 14 or something, 15 maybe.
Like your own boat?
Yeah, because they had a fishing contest in the lake that I'd been fishing in since I could walk. Mm-hmm. And I went out on my
home
bike.
Home advantage?
Yeah, exactly right. And I won the competition and the prize was a boat.
Wow. So how do you win a fishing competition?
It was the biggest fish.
Oh, just the biggest fish. Yeah, I thought it'd be like the most fish in an hour.
No. It was the big, and I thought I'd done terribly because I only caught one, and it wasn't actually that big. It was just really bad conditions on the day. So I came into the weighing in area. I thought I've messed this up. You know, I was really confident coming out.
They'd all caught minnows.
Yeah. So my sort of very modest trout, which was like
a trout,
less than a pound, like not a big fish at all, and it won me a boat.
Have you ever caught a pike?
No, because they're not really native to the west of Norway. They're in the east, and I haven't done a lot of fishing in the east.
Okay, a bit more of a trickier one, pikes, in Norway.
Are they?
Well, according to yourself.
It's just a home track bully.
Right, gentlemen, tonight's Champions League, of course, Villarreal against Michael Carrick's Manchester United. It'll be an interesting one there. Chelsea hosting Juventus. Classic Champions League action, Vish, from the bridge. You looking forward to that one?
I am, yeah. It's quite nice that they're staggered, aren't they? Because United are playing at 5:45 and then, proper starter dinner. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I asked you about Chelsea versus Juventus. We talked about kickoff times, okay? elsewhere, Bayern are at Dynamo Kiev and are missing a number of players, including Serge Gnabry and Jamal Musiala, because they're quarantining after coming into contact with someone who has got COVID at the club, and they're unvaccinated.
The Novax 5, as they should be called. Yeah, Serge Gnabry, Jamal Musiala, Eric, Maxime Choupo-Moting, Josh Kimmich, and Michael Kroosans. The issue here, I think from Bayern's point of view, is that if they had just gotten the vaccine, they wouldn't have had to quarantine. Mm. So you're losing players for 10 days just because they've decided not to get vaccinated, right, and they don't even have COVID. It's just because of quarantine.
Yeah.
So Bayern are docking them pay. They're not paying them for this period, which the players are said to be not massively keen on.
I'm sure.
So FC Hollywood there, very much always something going on. And I think it's just a great example. I think this one, great example is the wrong phrase, but it's an example of how it is an individual choice whether you get the vaccine. Mm. But it also your employer's choice how they relate to that. Because in this case, you know, freedom of choice doesn't mean freedom from the consequences of that choice. Mm-hmm. And in this case, they're out of the picture, whereas they shouldn't be.
Yeah, well, that potentially gives Dynamo Kiev a little bit more of a chance. A fixture that I'm quite interested in, Barcelona playing Benfica.
Yes.
Again, classic Champions League stuff. Pedri was awarded the Golden Boy Award by FIFA recently, but Xavi's the man in charge.
He is.
The Ole Gunnar Solskjaer of Barcelona. His first game at the weekend.
Not necessarily me.
They won.
He's reconnected with some great friends already. Like he's getting stuck in.
Yeah, they won against their local rivals, Espanyol. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it was Memphis Depay who got the winner. He just loves life at the moment. He just, whoever's the manager, he keeps scoring. But Lars, you watched this game.
I did. It was really interesting.
And you watched it with a former Barcelona B player.
Yeah, and the great Andrea Orlandi, who's a pundit with La Liga TV. I watched it with him at the weekend, and that, it was very interesting. And the point he made, which was, you know, something I think even with my limited football brain, I could have observed, but you could see there were passages of this game where you could already see Xavi trying to bring back some of the patterns that we remembered from the sort of Guardiola era. There was one chance in particular that I remember where you saw sort of you saw Alaba come on the Alaba? That would have been very strange.
Alaba,
why are you playing for Barcelona, man? It's the wrong club. Jordi Alba came on the overlap down the left and sort of Busquets chipped it over into him and Alaba played the cut back into the area. It looked like, it was kind of looked like Pep Guardiola's Barcelona tribute band occasionally. They weren't good for all the game. I mean, there were some periods where the energy dropped. But I thought it was very interesting that Xavi started young Ilias on the wing and brought on Abde as well, rather than immediately like shoving Coutinho back into the lineup and trying to get something out of him. I think he was kind of sending a message that as much as Coutinho is like a reclamation project, he's someone they're going to try to fix, footballers under the hammer style. Just kind of like,
just go to Newcastle, you know, just go there.
Even if he's on a big contract and all of that, he's still going to play. He might still play kids ahead of you if that's what the situation requires. And he's going to give chances to these young players. Listen, Barcelona, very much not out of the woods, but I think it's certainly interesting to follow how they do going forward.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, you know, even in their first game, you say there were patterns of play. It's quite impressive that he's managed to sort of get that going.
Were they patterns of play, but were they as quick as they were before? Would it be a bit like watching the Rolling Stones now?
Yeah, but it's still good watching the Rolling Stones now. I appreciate it's not what it was.
No, but you meet them more than halfway, don't you?
Busquets is a great example of this, I guess.
The Jagger of the operation.
Still, you still worry. I mean, any time Espanyol attacked, and I thought they did well during the game. They were unlucky not to get anything, Espanyol. Every time they attacked and put balls into the box, you were like, this defence is iffy. So they need to work on some things.
Well, we look forward to that nonetheless. So there we are. Oh, before we go, remember, a brand new episode of our new women's football show, Up Front, is out today on Football Ramble Presents. Flo, Rachel and Chloe are discussing Scott Booth's sacking at Birmingham, Manchester United's form, and the Ballon d'Or nominations. Get over to Football Ramble Presents for that. There we are. We've reached the end of the show. Thank you very much for listening to today's Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. On tomorrow's show, Pete, Andy and Vish is back, baby. So get your ears around that. But until then, thank you very much, Vitushan.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lars.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
I'm just going to make sure I look vaguely presentable.
You look
the answer,
sexy.
Of course, is always no.
You look incredibly shaggable, according
That's
to Vish.
It's because you have a particular fetish. That's
Vish, you've trimmed your beard nicely.
No, I haven't, actually.
Yes, you fucking have.
I haven't trimmed it. That's
you
why
do
I'm
look
gonna...
handsome, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Right then. Are we
Lars
ready?
Is already my favourite.
Okay.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.